Welcome. Today we are going to talk about one of my favorite characters from Spanish medieval times, a woman named Doña Urraca, U-R-R-A-C-A. And I would hear her name mentioned from time to time, and they'd say Doña Urraca did this and Doña Urraca did that, the name itself, and made the woman sound like a severe and strict woman, not someone who you could mess with. So I was always intrigued by that. And in fact, when I learned that Urraca was also the name of a fairly common bird in Spain, which translates as magpie. So we are talking about a woman, a leader, who also went by Lady Magpie, which in itself sounds like a song from the Beatles' White Album or something like that. And so I wanted to find out more about her. In fact, as you can imagine, just as you have with the Alfonsos and the Sanchos and other names, there were lots of Urracas from that period. But this one, Doña Urraca the First, or Urraca the First of León, is probably the most famous one. And when they talk about Doña Urraca, we're talking about this individual whom many consider to be the first female monarch in her own right in Europe. So that in itself makes her a person who is worthy of being remembered in history. A remarkable achievement in an age where female sovereignty was rare and often contested. Her reign was turbulent, filled with wars, rebellions, and betrayals, but also with extraordinary resilience. This is probably one of her biggest virtues. To understand Urraca's life and legacy is to take a look at the complexities of dynastic politics, gender expectations, and the harsh realities of power during the early 12th century. Just to bring some context to some listeners, Spain at this time is a fragmented group of kingdoms, Christian by faith, and generally with a common goal of trying to remove the Moors from the peninsula, at least in theory. In practice, it was a much more complex undertaking, and we had all sorts of intrigues and things going on amongst the different kingdoms themselves. We're talking about the Kingdom of León, mainly, Castile, Pamplona or Navarra, Aragon, and others. Now, Urraca was born in 1080 or 1081, I think they're not quite sure. She was the eldest daughter of King Alfonso VI of León and Castile, and his second wife, a woman named Constance of Burgundy. Alfonso VI was one of the most powerful Christian monarchs of the Iberian Peninsula at the time. He was spending a lot of his time engaged in the famous Reconquista, which was that long campaign that took centuries to reclaim the lands from the Muslim rule after the Muslim invasion in 711. At the time of Urraca's birth, her father's authority extended across much of the northern and central and even western Spain. The importance of dynastic marriages in this period meant that Urraca was always destined to play an important political role. Now, her first marriage was arranged by her father in 1090 when she was only 10 years old, and she was to marry a man named Raymond or Raimundo of Burgundy, who was a member of the House of Ivrea or Ivrea, which is spelled I-V-R-E-A. This was one of the most prestigious noble families in Europe. The Burgundians were closely linked to the papacy and to the powerful French aristocrats, so the union brought prestige and potential allies to Alfonso VI's court, which is what kings did back then. Kings and queens were constantly looking to gain power, not just through war, but more efficiently through marriage. Urraca and Raimundo established themselves as important figures in the realm, particularly in Galicia, which is in the northwest corner of Spain. And it sometimes acted as a sort of semi-independent region. Sometimes it was part of León, sometimes it was its own kingdom. Their marriage produced two children, a girl named Sancha, who would later become the queen consort of Navarra, and Alfonso, who would eventually inherit the throne after Urraca's death and become Alfonso VII. But that's sort of getting ahead of the game. Urraca's life changed dramatically after the death of her husband in 1107. Just a year later, her father's only legitimate son, Sancho, died in a battle, the Battle of Ucles in 1108. Sancho would have been only about 15 at the time, so you have to question his dad's decision to throw him into a major battle at such a young age, considering he was the heir to the throne. But once he died, Urraca was named the primary heir. So that's what happened in these times. And in some of these places, like León, the male always had a priority to become the heir to the throne. But if there was no male, no boy, then the oldest daughter would become the top candidate. So in a society where women rulers were very uncommon, Alfonso VI tried to strengthen his daughter's position by arranging another powerful marriage. This time he chose Alfonso I of Aragon, known as the Batallador, the warrior, the battler. He was a king that was famous for his military skills and relentless campaigns against Muslim forces. Their union was celebrated in 1109, and it was intended to unite the two major Christian kingdoms at the time, Castile and Aragon. We will see that this continues to happen over and over until it finally unites the country under the Catholic kings Ferdinand and Isabel in the late 15th century. The marriage would create a formidable power block in the peninsula. Now, what appeared to be a great idea on paper, a brilliant dynastic solution, quickly turned into a political and personal disaster. Urraca and Alfonso I clashed almost immediately. Their personalities and ambitions were incompatible. Alfonso was uncompromising and military-minded, while Urraca was determined to preserve her own authority and secure the inheritance of her son, Alfonso, as the next king. They fought a lot. The quarrels escalated into open hostility, with both sides taking up arms against each other. Now, this is a married couple, mind you, mobilizing armies against each other. He even went as far as to have her locked up in a castle at one point. Worse still, many nobles from León and Castile resented the presence of the foreign ruler. At this time, it would have been Alfonso. He was Aragonese, and they didn't really like that. The marriage soon broke down, and although technically it was annulled by the Pope in 1114, disputes over control of territory and legitimacy dragged on for years. Urraca's reign became a storm of civil wars and shifting loyalties. Her estranged husband refused to relinquish his claims to power, leading to a series of military confrontations. And at the same time, noble factions within León and Castile sometimes supported Urraca and her son, or sometimes Alfonso of Aragon, depending on their own interests. That just made things more complicated. The unstable political environment was further complicated by renewed attacks from the Almoravids, who were the North African dynasty trying to defend Muslim Spain against the Christian advance. So Urraca had to fight on different fronts, multiple fronts, against her former husband, against rebellious nobles, and also against external enemies. Now, despite these challenges, Urraca proved herself an extraordinarily determined ruler. She negotiated alliances with key nobles and bishops, sometimes ceding privileges or land in exchange for loyalty. She used her position as mother of the future king to rally support around her dynasty. At times, she fought battles personally, commanding troops on the field. Her resilience was more than striking, given the people who were writing about it, the chroniclers, often portrayed her as a hostile woman. Many contemporary sources criticize Urraca, depicting her as immoral, quarrelsome, or incapable of ruling. And that might explain why I had that impression of her early on, because people would pass that idea on to me. Yet these accounts reflect the prejudices of the time. Her reign was undeniably difficult, but her persistence in maintaining control reveals a formidable political intelligence. Urraca's troubled merits also drew sharp condemnation from clerical writers who used it as evidence of her supposed failings. In reality, her resistance to Alfonso I was a defense of her own sovereignty, her own rights, and those of her son. Modern historians increasingly recognize her ability to navigate a nearly impossible situation. She was not a weak ruler, as some depicted her as. She was one who endured relentless pressures in a deeply chauvinistic society that tried to deny her legitimacy from the very beginning. By the time of her death in 1126, Urraca had successfully ensured the survival of her dynasty. She passed the throne on to her son, Alfonso VII, who reigned as one of the most celebrated kings of Leon and Castile. Alfonso would later claim the title Emperor of all Spain. He actually gave himself that title and restored prestige to the monarchy. That stability was possible only because Urraca had withstood years of conflict and preserved her realms from disintegration. And that ruling house, the House of Ivrea or of Burgundy, would continue until 1367. And some of Spain's, or especially Castile's, most important kings, Alfonso X, Alfonso XI, to name just a couple, would be some of the most important in forging Castile's future as a major kingdom in Europe. So, Urraca of León, Doña Urraca, occupies a complex but significant place in history. She was not a conqueror like her father or her son, and she did not preside over a peaceful reign. Instead, she ruled in a constant state of crisis, balancing competing demands and facing attacks from all sides. Her story highlights the difficulties faced by women in positions of medieval power. Every decision she made was scrutinized through the lens of her gender, and every failure magnified by hostile writers and historians and chroniclers of the time. She also represents one of the earliest examples in Europe of a queen who ruled not as a consort or a regent, but as a sovereign in her own right, which is why many believe that she really is the first queen of Europe to rule in her own right, the queen of a major kingdom. Obviously, those things are disputed depending on your interpretation of monarch. But anyway, she certainly is one of the first, if not the first. Today, Urraca is remembered less for victories and more for endurance. Her reign reveals that leadership is not always about expansion or glory, but sometimes about survival and persistence. She defended her throne with courage and cunning, guaranteeing the future of her dynasty and leaving a legacy that deserves recognition alongside the great rulers of Spain at the time, in those centuries. In many ways, Urraca was ahead of her time, a woman who claimed her rightful place on the throne in a world determined to deny it to her. And that'll be all for this episode brought to you by Brian Spain Domain. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Amazon, or Castos. And you can check us out on our YouTube channel and subscribe. Or if you wish to support Brian Spain Domain, we'd greatly appreciate it because we work very, very hard to provide you with the best information about Spain, Spanish history, and Spanish culture. Our podcasts are free, so everyone can enjoy them, but we welcome listeners to support us if they wish. They can do this by clicking on our PayPal donate button on our website, or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts and support us regularly, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. And that'll be all for today. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.